We're on Second Advent, and we have been looking at the gifts that Christ gives us through Advent. Last Sunday, I talked about the gift of satisfaction, and it's a promise, because there are times when in our walk with God, we don't often feel that satisfied. I think there are times when we pray and we have these prolonged answers to our prayer, and we're saying, hello, satisfaction guaranteed. Not feeling it right now. Today I want to look at the second one, the gift of contact. The gift of contact. I want you to watch this.
Regret all the time I wasted, not saying yes to things.
It's something I've always wanted to do since I was little.
Time slipping away, I mean, that's probably the worst feeling in the world, right?
Loads of friends from different walks of life, and it's really hard to keep in touch with everyone.
Up until recently, I was homeless. If I hadn't hurt the people that I had, maybe I wouldn't have been.
I wanted to do so many things, but I can never seem to find the time.
I did all the things that were like plan B. I just never did it.
So that little card that you picked up, if you want to participate, nobody else will see it, only you. Would you be willing to write your greatest regret? Think about it for a moment. If you were to write your greatest regret, go ahead, take some time if you want. What would you write down? Giving you a moment to think about it. Feel it. What would be your greatest regret? I think we all have regrets, do we not? So what do we do, or what have you done with your regret? Feel guilty? Do you feel a sense of remorse? Feel a sense of sorrow? Maybe a sense of anger? I want you to dwell on that just a little bit right now. Allow yourself to feel the hurt. Allow yourself to feel the disappointment. And maybe you can identify with that yearning for relief. Did you like it when they pulled out the eraser? I think we recognize what the eraser represents. If you have regrets, what do you do with them? How do we get a clean slate? A simple eraser. Now, in this little video clip, they said that every day is a clean slate. You may agree or disagree with that. I think we understand the limitations of that statement. But the ability to erase the board, to erase whatever it is that you just wrote down or what it is that you're thinking about right now. I like how the one individual says, a clean board feels like where I want to be, where I want to go. A clean board, a clean slate represents hope, it represents possibilities. It's like a new lease on life. If there were relationships that were injured or hurt, a clean slate means you can start over again. A clean slate, I think, is something that we all yearn for, isn't it? The offer of forgiveness, the having guilt erased, relationships restored, conflicts resolved. We have a word for that in our Christian world. The word for that is reconciliation, is it not? So a technical definition of reconciliation we know is an accounting term. I'm not a good accountant, so I can't quite identify with the accountant definition of reconciliation, but I think, tell me if I'm wrong, Mac, but I think reconciliation means that two columns line up. What comes in and what goes out has to equal. That's reconciliation. Reconciliation is a change in the relationship between God and humanity. It assumes that there has been a breakdown in the relationship, but now there has been a change from a state of enmity and fragmentation to one of harmony and fellowship. That is what a clean slate really looks like, is it not? Romans 5, verses 6 to 11, Paul says that before reconciliation, we were powerless, ungodly sinners and enemies. We were under God's wrath. Because of change or reconciliation, we become new creations. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Reconciliation. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. When we talk about the gift of contact is that simple reminder that God took the initiative. God made the first move. He was the first one to pull out the eraser and to clean the slate. He took the initiative. Reconciliation. The act of causing two people or two groups of people to become friendly again after an argument or disagreement. The result of reconciliation is an end to a disagreement. And by nature, reconciliation is a two-way street. Both parties need to give and both parties need to receive. And usually, reconciliation involves a considerable degree of negotiation. How many of you can identify you had to resolve a conflict with somebody else? Have you ever had to do that in your life? I think we have. How difficult was it for you to make that first step? How much more difficult is it when the person you're trying to reconcile with doesn't agree with you or doesn't think that you are humble enough or that the forgiveness you're trying to offer isn't adequate, it's not enough? And so negotiation takes place. This happens between employer and employee. This can happen between neighbors. I remember many years ago, one of the very first places we owned here in Chilliwack, we had a very cranky neighbor across the street. And I tried once, I have to admit, I only tried once, to reconcile with this gentleman. I remember he's hardly ever outside. This is the kind of gentleman that my children were young. I had a son who was a hockey player. Him and I played hours of street hockey on my driveway. And on more occasions than I can count, he would be on his front doorstep screaming at me across the street using very colorful language, telling me to get off the street and stop being such a nuisance. Multiple times. So the one time he was on his driveway working on his engine, he was doing something at his car. So I said, here's my chance, I'm going to walk over there. So I walked over to him and I tried to reconcile. Didn't happen. He flat out ignored me. Would not look at me, did not say a word. To this day, reconciliation never took place. I will kind of admit, or maybe I shouldn't, that I stood at the end of my driveway and applauded when he moved away. Sort of. I mean, I wanted to. But generally, reconciliation takes two people. Two people have to be involved. Yet, when it comes to the enmity between God and us, we have to recognize there is nothing that we have to offer. There is nothing that we can bargain with God. We are simply recipients by grace. There is nothing we can offer God in the way of negotiation. We are condemned sinners, estranged from God, and alienated from life. John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already. Ephesians 4:18. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from this life in God. Colossians 1:21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, but now he has reconciled you. The gift of contact. God found a way to satisfy his own justice in that Christ has died in our place of judgment. He has come to offer us encouragement. He took the initiative. He offers life, life eternal, the gift of a clean slate. So when you look at that regret that you wrote down, when you look at, take the time to allow yourself to feel as you look into your own past, whether it be relationships or actions or activities that you've been involved in that you just don't feel so good about or you're still some hurt about it. I had an opportunity yesterday to sit with a friend of mine. He's considerably older than I am. Had just had his 80th birthday. And he was sharing the hurt that he still carries from events that happened in his life going all the way back to his teens. And I asked him, I go, is it regret? Is it remorse? Is it sorrow? I think it's all of it. How many of us carry some of this for so long, wondering, when can I have somebody, something, come along and just erase it? Give me that clean slate. And the gift of contact reminds us, and the reason we celebrate Christmas reminds us that God took the initiative. He took the first step. He is the one who offers it to us. Romans 5 verse 8, while we were still sinners. Stop and think about that for a moment. While we were still sinners meant when we were most distant from God. when we thought about God the least, when we could care about Him the least, Christ died for us. That's an amazingly powerful statement about God's initiative. The initiative of God. Grace means that God takes the initiative to seek us out, rather than leave it up to us to find Him. It means that God takes the initiative to give us what we have no way of getting. That's why grace is called a free gift. His gift is entirely dependent upon His love and His initiative. It has nothing to do with us. Can you believe that? John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that last day. Titus 3:4-6. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The gift of contact, the gift of initiation. God took the initiative. You know, we wrestle with this. I often wrestle with this. Because somewhere we suppose that to receive Christ, we have to at least show God that we have some interest in Him. We think that we have to at least believe enough, or try to obey more consistently, or show the appropriate amount of remorse or sorrow. Because we suppose if we do that, then God will see our faith and our desire for Him, and then He will respond accordingly. But yet we have to recognize, I cannot reach up to heaven. Not by my works, not by my good intentions, not by all my desires. It is God who has to take the initiative. He came down to His own, and He demonstrated the extent of His love. That's the gift of contact. Christmas reminds us that God has not left us to ourselves, that He has not placed all the responsibility on us to work harder, to pray longer, to shore up my own righteousness, and then to somehow catch His attention and then get a favorable response from Him. That old hymn, heaven came down, and glory fills the space. That regret that you wrote down, that remorse that you might be feeling this morning, allow yourself to think about that right now. Dwell on it a little bit. Can you recognize that there is no sin so deep and terrible that it can convince God to sit back and just simply let us die? Can you believe that the God of all grace is invading, seeking, and evermore probing into the hearts and lives of men and women in order to bring them out of this old creation and to put us into something new? He is relentless in doing so, for He is the initiating God. He does for us what we are completely incapable of doing for ourselves. 1 John 4, that very familiar passage. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is an initiating God. He takes the initiative. Think about it this way for a moment. Think back to the original sin when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Who ran from whom, and who sought whom out? When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing they did? Did they go seek out God? We know the story. They ran and hid. What was it about God that would make them want to run and hide from Him? What was it? What was going on in their minds as they're thinking, I know I disobeyed, and what I deserve is judgment. And because this God, who up until now, all that I've experienced from this God is grace and mercy. All I've ever experienced from God at this point has been the wonder of His creation. We all would love to live in the Garden of Eden. And we find Adam and Eve hiding. And we see God seeking them out. God goes after them. The gift of contact. See, it would have been perfectly correct for God to just leave Adam and Eve wallow in their guilt and sin. It would have been perfectly right for God to say, it's up to you guys to figure out how to work your way back. I'm over here. I am righteous. I am holy. I'm going to offer forgiveness, but you guys figure out how to get back. You could have done that. Why do I spend so much time there? Because I think many of us feel like we need to be over here like Adam and Eve hiding. I've done something. It's so terrible. It is so personal. It's so private. It is so deep. It just envelops everything that I am. God can possibly not want me in His presence. And we celebrate Advent. And we recognize God initiates contact with Adam. God continues to do so with us today. He shows that His attitude towards us always was, always is, and always will be love. Love initiates deliverance and redemption. Love seeks out the sinner. Just one more example. One more example out of the New Testament. You know the story well. In John chapter 5, verse 1 to 16, of the man who sat by the pool of Siloam. We're told that he was there for somewhere around 38 years, waiting for a miracle to happen. You know the story well. He was there. There was a belief that if the waters were stirred, it was an angel's wings that touched the water, and the first individual who could make it into the water would receive healing. For 38 years, this gentleman believed in that story. Maybe he witnessed enough of it. Maybe he saw other people, and maybe it happened. I mean, why else would you stay there for 38 years? And while he's waiting, he doesn't realize the Messiah is standing beside him. What was it about this man that when Jesus walked in among all those other people there, that Jesus would seek him out? I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us anything as to why him out of all the others. But Jesus stands beside the man, and we know the story well. Do you want to get well? And the man's got all kinds of excuses. Jesus says, get up, take your mat, go home, live. Jesus took the initiative. Far too often, we forget that Jesus is standing right next to us. God is acting on our behalf right now as we are. We simply have to remember that Jesus is already here with us, offering an extended hand in the darkness. God desires us to be made well in and through Jesus Christ. God took the initiative. He reached down through the ages in the form of a child at Christmas time as we celebrate Him. The gift of contact. Whatever that regret is that you have, whatever it is, the burden it is that you are carrying, can you recognize Jesus is standing beside you, extending the hand, saying, if you want to be well, just trust me. Believe in me. I'm here. I listen. In God, Christ, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to Himself. Don't miss that gift this year. Let me pray. Dear God, I want to thank You for the reminder in Your Word that you took the first step. There is nothing in me to make you notice me. Nothing special about me other than your mercy, your grace. You see me through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you that in you I receive 100% satisfaction. And you took the initiative. You initiated the contact. You bridged all that separated me from you. And you offer us individuals new life. As we celebrate new birth this Christmas, even in the midst of chaos and conflict, help us remember you are always there beside us. You take the first step. You offer reconciliation. And all we can do is say, thank you, and we receive. In your name I pray. Amen.